I have found you a Chinese carpet, exactly what you want.
Sold as a valuable antique.
You brought it to your house, and you wrote him out a check for $7,500 for the carpet.
Then they got a second opinion.
Excuse me, sir. Are you an expert?
Yes, I am.
How much is that carpet worth?
Maximum $500.
All right.
Did he lie like a rug?
The question is, are you a fraud?
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Chase and Ronnie Mellon are suing carpet shop owner Masood Azizi for a refund for an expensive collector's carpet he sold to them. The plaintiffs claim the carpet was a fake.
Order. All rise. Now, that's case number 90 on the calendar in the matter of Mellon versus Azizi.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Judge parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Sir, have a seat.
Mr. Mellon, you are an attorney by profession, according to your complaint. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And as such, you are familiar with contracts?
I am.
Good. This is what your case is about. Mr. Azizi sold you, when your wife was not at home, a carpet. You are a collector of a certain kind of carpet. I think it's called Nichols. Is that what it's called? Nichols carpet. Mr. Azizi told you that this was the kind of carpet that you were looking for. He brought it to your house, according to you, laid it out, and it looked wonderful in the space, and you wrote him out a check for $7,500 for the carpet. When your wife came home, she had some suspicions about the carpet, you say, and you subsequently had the carpet evaluated by a carpet expert, and you discovered that it was not, in fact, a Nichols carpet. You want your money back.
May I elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, I just want to know, first I want you to tell me what part of what I said is inaccurate.
First of all, my wife was home, but was not present with us when we rolled the carpet out. She came later while he was still at the house and looked at it. There's a cross out in the statement to that effect.
Well, unfortunately, Mr. Mellon, that is not better for your side.
I understand.
Okay.
I'm just trying to be accurate.
So you were both at home when he laid out the carpet. Now, how many of these Nichols carpets do you own?
May I just continue on with the critique? I'm sorry. Secondly, she was not present when the carpet was laid out and when I made the transaction. She later joined us and said, I don't like it.
It's not particularly relevant. She was there at the time the carpet was laid out.
Secondly,
anything else?
Secondly, I'm not the collector, my wife is, of these carpets.
It's not relevant.
I'm not particularly knowledgeable.
But it's not relevant.
Thirdly, before Mr. Azizi left the house, taking with him my check, he said...
Just a second, 1 second. Well, tell me what he said. I would like to see your contract with him.
We didn't have a written contract.
So you don't have a receipt?
I don't.
So the only receipt is your canceled check?
That's correct.
Which I assume you have.
That is correct.
Well, I will need that, because then your check would actually be the contract, because on the memo of the check, I assume that as an attorney, Mr. Mellon, you wrote one Nichols carpet, because that is your contract. So what we have is we have no contract other than this piece of paper, which represents a copy of the check that you gave Mr. Azizi for, I assume, that carpet. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you received the carpet.
That's correct.
And he got the money.
That's correct.
Offer acceptance, it's executed, it's finished. So what you want to do is tell me, and I am assuming that for the purposes of this case, because I know that Bird has a certain inquisitive mind, mine is not. I have a certain amount of information that I've processed in my head at my age. I don't need any extraneous stuff, and I have no interest in that blue carpet. So let us assume for the purpose of this case, even though it may or may not be true, that that is not a Nichols carpet. And whether or not he knew it wasn't a Nichols carpet is really irrelevant. The question that I have to resolve is, was there a contract for a specific item that was breached? Go, you're the lawyer.
All right, the actual transaction went like this. He came to the door. We had been to his shop over the course of 2 years looking for a Chinese carpet from the 20s and 30s, which is when Nichols was manufacturing them in Peking before the Second World War. We were looking for that carpet that would fit as a runner in a hallway. He came to the house. He said, I found the carpet that you're looking for. It's a Chinese Nichols carpet. I looked at
it.
You
mean he just came to the door? He didn't call first?
He didn't call me. I don't believe he did.
Well, he must have called somebody. He called your wife.
Maybe.
Because he doesn't just show up at...
As far as I knew, he had just shown up.
No, he didn't. You ask your wife.
I didn't ask my wife because she wasn't there to ask.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
Sir, in my playpen, I guarantee you, the facts will come out, and they come out in an orderly, logical way. This man did not just show up at your house. If he didn't speak to you, he spoke to your wife. She's nodding her head, yes. He spoke to her and said he was coming over. Now, do you remember the conversation that you had with Mr. Azizi?
I do.
Then I'd like you to relay that to me.
He said, I have found you in Nichols Chinese carpet, exactly what you want, exactly the colors that you want, and I'd like to bring it over and show it to you.
Sounds perfect. Did you tell him that he could come over?
Yes.
Okay, so now Mr. Azizi is at the door. You open the door. Now tell me.
I invited him into the house.
As far as you knew, this was a total surprise to you because you hadn't spoken to your wife, correct?
That's correct.
So you invited him in. He must have said something. And you must have known from the fact that he was carrying a carpet he wasn't there for blintzes, right?
Correct.
Great.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Who did you buy that carpet from?
I bought it.
Not here. Who did you buy it from?
From a dealer.
What dealer?
In Los Angeles.
Name? Is not an answer.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Chase and Ronnie Mellon claim rug dealer Masoud Azizi sold them a fake Nichols rug. They are suing for the return of their money.
Now, Mr. Mellon invited him in and...
He said, I found the carpet that you've been looking for.
He already told that to your
Nichols,
wife.
But he told it to me again.
Okay.
He said, it's a Nichols carpet, just what you wanted. It's a beautiful, valuable carpet. He unrolled it. I looked at it. It was blue. It was a carpet. That's really all I know about this.
Now, just a second. It was blue.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a carpet.
Yeah. Nichols carpets are characteristically dark blue.
It was blue and it was a carpet. Go ahead, Mr.
Correct. Allen. And it fit the space. So I said, how much money do you want for this? And he said, I need to get $7,500 for it. I said, can't you come down on that price? That's very expensive. I don't think we've ever paid that much for a carpet. He said, no, I'm not even making much of a profit, only 20% on it. If you don't want it, I'll sell it to someone else. So I said, all right. My wife came out and said, this doesn't look right.
What were you referring to, Mrs. Mellon?
The carpet was what I call kludged. It looked like it had lots of cuts in it. The design was cut in the middle, and I have several of these carpets, and never have I seen the design cut in the middle.
So you said to Mr. Azizi, this doesn't look right.
Kludged is the word I used.
And?
And I'm not an expert in rugs either. I just said it doesn't look right. It looks kludged. It's crooked. I showed him the cuts, the stains, and he said, you can take it to any expert you want. I guarantee this is the truth. I got this from a very honest source, and you will see that I'm correct.
So?
So he left the rug there, and he left with the money.
Okay, go ahead.
So, I have a practice in Los Angeles. She has a business in Santa Barbara. We only see each other on the weekends, and we're usually very busy on the weekends. At some point in the next week or two, we had the time to take the carpet to another rug dealer.
So you took the carpet to somebody else. On what date?
I'm not sure. A week or two after this, on a Saturday.
Go ahead.
As soon as we were able and had the time to take
it. That's not an answer, Mr. Mellon.
Well, but that's what you're implying, so I'm giving you the facts.
Well, you may be giving me the facts, but that's not what you do, and you know that. You're an attorney. You know that if you buy something and there is a condition precedent to executing this contract, you can take it on consignment, or you can take it to someone, have it appraised, and if you're satisfied with it, you write somebody out a check. But what you did was you made an agreement for a carpet that was blue and it fit the space. Your wife said that she didn't think it looked right, although she says she's not an expert. But you say she's more of an expert than you are. And a fuzzy week or two later, you take it to somebody to look at it because we're not sure of the date. Even though your wife is suspect with regard to whether or not this is a Nichols carpet, and you don't have a receipt or a contract with him indicating exactly what it's supposed to be, other than a rug, which is what you have.
But I did not purchase that carpet without the representation that it was, in fact, what he said it was, and it isn't that. So what I was buying was not just that carpet, but that carpet that was represented to be have a certain provenance and manufacturing background, which it doesn't have.
Then you, as a lawyer, you know if you want something specific, You memorialize that with a receipt. I mean, it's just common sense. If I went in and was spending $7,000 on a particular item, I would get a receipt for it.
I don't think that it is a requirement of proving the case that I explained to you why I behaved foolishly. The question is, was there a fraudulent representation by the seller?
I don't know. Now, Mr. Rizzisi, I'm coming to
you.
May I finish? No, just a second.
Well, that's not fair.
No, my problem, Mr. Mellon, is that you gave Mr. Rizzisi a check. It wasn't a provisional check. There was no guarantee on the check. There was no memorialization on the check. What you were purchasing, you gave him a check made out to him, and then you were dissatisfied. Now, I'm not saying Mr. Rizzisi did the right thing. Mr. Rizzisi, I'm going to come back to you. Who did you buy that carpet from? Not here. Who did you buy it from?
From a dealer.
What dealer?
In Los Angeles.
Name? Is not an answer.
I don't remember the name of the dealer.
I'm going to give you time to find it out. It wasn't so long ago, sir. In what month and year did you purchase it?
The year was 2010.
2010?
Mm-hmm.
How much before you sold it to Mr. and Mrs. Mellon did you purchase it?
$3,000.
How much before you sold it to them did you purchase it? That's either a day, a week, a month.
Maybe a month or so. A month ago.
What do you mean, maybe a month or so? You knew you were coming to court today, Mr. Rizzisi?
Yes, I bought it. I don't exactly remember, but like a month ago or so, before I sold it to me.
Maybe 1 month.
Probably a month, exactly a month.
Did you purchase the rug in Beverly Hills?
Yes.
From the store?
Yes.
Dealer to dealer?
Yes.
Did you pay him in check or cash?
I believe cash.
Now give me the name of the person you gave the cash to.
Wally.
Wally what?
Azizi, he's my older brother.
So you bought it from your brother?
Yes.
And how much is it that you claim you gave your brother for this carpet?
$2,500, maybe.
Mr. Azizi, you are lying to me. You want to know why?
Why?
Because a minute ago you told me you bought it for $3,000.
Close to
$3,000. No, you didn't say close to $3,000. You said $3,000. Now it's $2,500.
No, no.
You know what this is a perfect example of, Mr. Azizi? It's a perfect example of if you're telling the truth, you don't have to have a good memory. I say that to both you and Mr. Mellon, because there are a couple of things that he said to me that I actually don't believe either.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
I think that was the proper way to proceed.
No, it wasn't, and you know it wasn't the proper way to proceed, Mr. Mellon.
It's as proper as any other way, I think.
No, Mr. Mellon, it is not.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Chase and Ronnie Mellon are accusing rug dealer Masoud Azizi of selling them a fake Nichols rug.
Mr. Azizi, the question is, are you a fraud and is your business fraudulent?
No.
Because if it's just a question, Mr. Azizi, of my saying to Mr. Mellon, and I was very tough on Mr. Mellon,
mm-hmm.
I said, you're a lawyer, I'm holding you to a higher standard.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know that if you're buying something, you create a contract. And if you're buying a Nichols carpet, that Nichols carpet should be in the contract. And Mr. Mellon, despite the fact that he could do a lot of shifting from foot to foot, really knows that. He knows that it should have been memorialized in a contract along with sales tax, because you said you wanted $7,500 for the rug. That was including tax or excluding tax?
Including tax.
Including tax. Was it the same including tax that you paid your brother?
No, he's a dealer. I don't pay tax on that.
You didn't pay tax anyway because you paid him in cash.
Yes.
So my question is, if I found after questioning you that you were a legitimate dealer who purchased in good faith from another legitimate dealer a carpet that you believed was what they were looking for, then I would hold Mr. Mellon to a high standard as a lawyer and say, should have had a contract. Arrivederci. And he knows that I would be right, unless I find out that you're a crook, because I don't think you paid your brother anywhere near $2,500. And this man, who's an expert, is going to tell me this rug is worth $200. And even if you paid your brother $2,500, that means that when you sold it to him, you made three times in profit. And I don't believe that you paid $2,500 for it. Excuse me, sir.
Yes.
Are you an expert?
Yes, I am.
How much is that carpet worth?
Maximum $500.
All right. Do you understand?
First of all,
do you understand what I'm saying to you, sir?
Yes.
You have to prove to me that you did not perpetrate a fraud, a office. So you have to prove to me, sir, so that I'm comfortable, because right now I'm not comfortable with your answers. You prove to me when you bought it, from whom, and for how much.
I bought it from my brother a month before I sold it to them, and it was $2,500.
Show me some sort of documentation that it said Nichols Carpet.
I don't have any documents that shows
that. Why not? You're the one who's in business. What do you have with you?
I got my invoices that it says 30 days within. They bought this rug, they liked it, and after 6 or 8 months, they're turning
just in. Just a second. How much after you brought the rug to their house did they first call you?
Probably after 6 months, 5 months.
Was it 5 or 6 months,
yes, maybe
Melch?
Longer.
No.
When was your first written communication with him demanding your money back?
I've never sent him a written communication.
Well, that's a problem that you have.
I tell him.
You're a lawyer. No. Listen, Mr. Mellon, what kind of law do you practice?
Business law.
Business law. Mr. Mellon.
Do you know the expression that cobbler's children go barefoot?
Well, you know, that may be, sir. But, you know, there's foolishness. If I'm going to make a demand to someone, I memorialize it in a writing.
May I expand on what happened between him and me?
No, not necessary.
You don't want to hear what happened?
No, I don't. I want to know when, for the first time, you demanded your money back from Mr. Azizi, month and year.
I called him approximately 10 days after this transaction, the middle of the next week, after I'd had a chance to show the carpet to another dealer.
You didn't even tell me that was true, Mr. Mellon. You see, my problem is, I think Mr. Azizi pulled one over on you, but because you're not being honest with
me. But I am being honest.
No, you're not. You said to me 5 minutes ago, you don't know when you took it. It was either a week or two.
I can tell
you. Now you tell me that it was the middle of the next week. After you had had an opportunity to have it evaluated by somebody else.
Because I was speaking generally, but I can tell you what the basis for my testimony is, if you'd like to hear it.
No, I would not, Mr. Mellon.
I took the rug to another. I'd like to tell this to you so that you have the facts. May I do that?
Mr. Mellon, I want you to tell me, you're the lawyer, when he told you he wasn't giving you back your money, when, if ever, did you send him a formal request for your money?
I filed the action after he told me that.
When?
After two meetings.
When?
Whenever the action was filed.
Well, that's what I'm asking you. When did
you
file the action? Just tell me when you filed the action.
I would guess I filed it in December. I'm guessing. Maybe it was later than that.
You had two meetings with him, and the first notice that he had in writing that you were demanding your money back as a business lawyer was when you filed this action against him.
No,
is that what you're telling me?
No, the first notice he had was when he came to the house the second time on my invitation and was told that I wanted my money back, and he said, get me an expert's opinion, I'll give you your money back, maybe, I don't know. I got a second expert's opinion. I went to his store and sat with him. He wasn't willing to give me my money back, so I realized he wouldn't. I went to four different experts at that time to get a witness, and once I had that secured, I filed the action. I think that was the proper way to proceed.
No, it wasn't, and you know it wasn't the proper way to proceed, Mr. Mellon.
It's as proper as any other way, I think.
No, Mr. Mellon, it is not. And you're a lawyer and you practice business law, and you know it's not.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Now, if you were involved in a business transaction and you were called upon to represent somebody, you wouldn't pick up a phone and say to the other lawyer, this is what I want. What you would do if you're any kind of a lawyer is you memorialize that conversation in a writing.
In a demand letter, I might. But I might not. It would depend on the circumstances.
I can't help you, Mr. Mellon. And I think he did the absolute wrong thing. But I can't.
I think I'm still entitled to it, whether I send a demand letter or not. I don't think there's any code section or any common law case which holds that an individual must send a written demand before they can get reimbursement.
You are absolutely correct, sir. I think that you had a binding contract and you got snookered. You had a binding contract when you gave him a check for $7,500 and you received a rug. And if there were any other terms in it, you would have, as a lawyer, memorialized it. Your case is dismissed. That's all.
What is our excuse, Mr. Bell?
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
First, she has to educate herself.
They were made between 1915 and 1930.
It's an old Chinese rug.
Pre the Second World War in Japan.
That old, they have a little bit of repairs.
There's a certain kind of fabric that they use.
It's not just easy. These are all handmade.
Certain colors.
I took it to their house.
Certain dyes.
They love it.
Certain density.
They said, this is what we wanted.
And design.
They bought it from me.
And this one had designs that were cut in half.
If I was a crook or something that's selling these type of rugs, I wouldn't be in business for 22 years.
There won't be any more.